now, like we love to do each and every week. Doug Segrist joining us out of Birmingham, formerly back in the day with the Nashville Banner. In fact, formerly back in the day when Tennessee, Florida really meant something as far as the national championship picture was concerned. Now in Birmingham, co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. And by the way, a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, as always, hope you had a great weekend. Welcome back to the show.
I did, and thank you. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Well, here's the thing. You know, there was a stretch, because we talk about Tennessee-Florida Week, and certainly when you look at both of these programs and the expectations of what these two teams can be in 3-4 years, et cetera. Well, it starts this year with the foundation, Dan Mullen with the Florida Gators, first-year head coach, along with Jeremy Pruitt, first-year head coach with Tennessee. And I bring it up because, and I was reminded of this fact with the game notes from the Florida Gators. Did you know, since the start of 2013, there have been only 5 FBS programs to be ranked number 1 in the AP Top 25 poll? You know who they are?
I did not.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was reminded by this, giving you a hint, of one of those 5. But it starts with Alabama. 50 times, by the way. Not even close the number of times they've been ranked number 1 since 2013. Florida State, number 2 on the list with 12 weeks. Ohio State, 3rd with 11, followed by Dabo Sweeney and Clemson at 8. Guess who's number 5? That's right. Dan Mullen with Mississippi State. So friendly reminder of the coaching prowess of Dan.
Man, right?
No, it was actually 5 weeks in the AP poll.
With Dak. Okay.
Yeah, there was a friendly reminder. It's just like the first time, by the way, I had a chance to visit with Dan Mullen. We were talking about how, you know, some conferences, everybody's bragging, showing off their conference championship rings. In the SEC at that time, everybody was showing off their national title rings. So, and Dan Mullen was quick to remind me, this is when he had first taken over the program at Mississippi State, quick to remind me of his national championship rings as the offensive coordinator with the Florida Gators.
Yeah, and that was peak Urban Meyer. You know, I think this game is actually one of the sexier games this week. Low point spread. You know, Florida obviously has more in the tank. Dan Mullen inherits more. They look bad in their one loss. But I think Tennessee's an up-and-coming program. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Well, how about the fact, too, you know, you start in 2001 was the last time this was the case, but there was a period of 4 out of 5 years where both of these teams were ranked in the top 5 in the country when the game kicked off. And that just shows you where this game used to be on the national landscape.
Well, no, it was the SEC's, I can't say biggest rivalry because you think annual. And obviously Alabama-Auburn, you know, means a lot, at least to people in this state. But Tennessee-Florida was the go-to game in the league.
Very good point. All right, I threw something out crazy, and we'll get back to Tennessee-Florida in just a moment. All right, so, and this is because of what my eyes have shown me so far through the first 3 weeks. I look back at how Vanderbilt played against Notre Dame, and it wasn't like Vanderbilt, this was just fluky, playing out of their minds football. This was actually a Vanderbilt team that did not look anywhere near their capabilities as far as a football squad, and yet there they were on the home turf of the number 8 team in the country in Notre Dame, a completion away of having first and goal inside the 10-yard line with a minute to go with all the momentum in the world. I bring it up because despite the loss, it show you how important Saturday is at Vanderbilt Stadium. If Vanderbilt wins, they'll be 4-1 with a win against Tennessee State next week. I'm looking at the schedule, and yes, I know Georgia's there. Even if you lose against Georgia and one other team, you're still looking at 9-3. I mean, the wins are there on the schedule. I bring it up because guess what the record is for most wins in a single season for Vanderbilt football?
9.
It is 9. So at 9-3, they would actually be in a bowl game with a chance to become the first team in the history of Vanderbilt football to get 10. Now you go, oh, wait a second, pump the brakes, don't go there. But here's the thing. I'm not a coach, not a part of the coaching staff, not one of the players, not inside the building. I can actually think along those lines and look down the road.
You're right, and just don't mention it to a reporter on the field after the game.
Right.
Hey, I think this, again, this is a sexy game, and I don't think I'm getting carried away because SEC play starting, but, you know, South Carolina's expectations were real high going into the season. They did not show up against Georgia, and this is kind of do-or-die game for Muschamp. So I think Vanderbilt's got a lot to gain from this.
I will say, if we get the and look, whether it's fair or not, you know, it's one of these things where facts tell me it is fair to say what I'm getting ready to say. Remember how we always had Bo Wallace, the former starting QB for Ole Miss? It was the good Bo and the bad Bo, and depending on which version you got was whether or not Ole Miss was going to be in a position to upset somebody. That's what we're kind of getting with Jake Bentley, because when Georgia went in and took on South Carolina in week two, we got the bad version of Bo, the one who threw the pick six on the opening drive, and you can't have that kind of momentum shift if you're trying to upset somebody in the top three in the country, if you know what I mean. So South Carolina, you know, to me, when we look at, say, the quarterback, for example, with Wimbush with Notre Dame comparing to Jake Bentley, when Jake is on, he's much better than Wimbush will ever be as far as Notre Dame is concerned. And that means we're talking about four quarters of football. But if we get – look, if Vanderbilt executes like they had the opportunities to execute last Saturday in South Bend, to me, there's no reason why Vanderbilt can't be the winner of this contest at the end of the day.
I agree. I think South Carolina has some questions on defense, and I think that favors Vanderbilt. I also think that South Carolina up front may not be as strong as Notre Dame was. So, again, advantage Vanderbilt. You know, this is a team, good Jake Bentley, bad Jake Bentley. It really depends on whether the defense can stay in the game. You know, they've got to improve to beat Vanderbilt.
We get Texas A&M, where, you know, two Saturdays ago, they gave Clemson everything they wanted and more. And I look at that game in week two, where it came down to whether or not A&M could convert a two-point conversion to tie the game in that final minute. To me, it was one of these things where Clemson certainly was very much in control of the game, and they allowed Texas A&M to have hope, and Texas A&M took the momentum away, and it was all Texas A&M in the fourth quarter. And at least it provides the recipe down the road for any team trying to beat Clemson, that if you can keep the defensive front on the football field long enough as far as Clemson, guess what? They're going to get tuckered out. So Alabama, if they keep playing like they have, first of all, they set the record. No team in SEC history and in the history of the conference has ever scored 50 or more points on offense in their first three games. Alabama almost had that, by the way, in the first half against Ole Miss. But, you know, to me, this is not whether or not what Texas A&M can do or not do on Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa. To me, this is, if Alabama executes, then Texas A&M is going to get blown out by four or five touchdowns.
But I'm still shocked at the line. I know I shouldn't be. I live down here. I see it. I've seen Alabama up close and personal twice now. But this is an astounding line for a team, a top 25 team, to be, you know, a 26-point underdog. And I know it's gone down a little, but that was the opening line. To me, this is interesting because I think this is a much more physical Texas A&M team than we've seen. Ole Miss has trouble on defense. I don't see that being corrected anytime soon. Recruiting is the only way to get around that. But Alabama really hasn't faced a physical front yet. And this is a challenge for them. Again, you're talking about some good wide receivers, a quarterback can throw the ball around. The fact that they did it against Clemson provides hope that the Aggies might do that Saturday. I do not expect them to really challenge, but I'd be shocked if it's four touchdowns.
Doug Segrist joining us again out of Birmingham. What is it about LSU that it's like Superman and Kryptonite? For whatever reason, Gus Malzahn in Auburn, when LSU is on the schedule, LSU, just like we saw last year where Auburn was very much in control and they blew it in the second half. On Saturday, very much in control. Now, they did have a little help there where I don't know what the officials were seeing and watching as far as pass interference with the LSU defenders. Last time I checked, if you're pulling and yanking on the back of someone's jersey as he's trying to run down the field to catch a long pass, last time I checked, that's pass interference. And when it didn't didn't get called. The momentum totally shifted back in LSU's favor. But whatever reason, especially in recent years, LSU is the Achilles heel issue for Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers.
Well, I think they match up well, and I think this year they're a legitimate, at this point, they're a legitimate top 10 team. Now, I'm not sold on Miami, but that's still an impressive win. I thought Auburn outplayed LSU, but LSU hung around. And again, I'm impressed with Joe Burrow, his ability to protect the football and make clutch throws. He's still under 50%, but he's not throwing the ball away. He's making the throws when he has to make the throws. And again, up front, they're a fairly physical team, and they go into Auburn and they know that they can play with this team. And I think that confidence, when you've had that over a number of years, it really helps. There's nothing false about it. It's not an adrenaline rush that's going to abandon you. It's going to stay with you that second half. And certainly the way they came back last year had to factor in this game.
A team going into Auburn this week, I don't think it's going to have that same attitude. I was throwing this out yesterday, and just shows you how quickly, and one of the reasons why I'm, you know, pushing a sense of urgency there towards, and as far as the viewpoints towards Tallahassee and Florida State. 7 years ago, you know, now if you ask today, and I'll just ask you, who is the worst team as far as in the SEC right now?
Arkansas.
Thank you very much.
Arkansas,
7 years ago, 7 years, November 20th of 2011, 7 years ago, Arkansas was the number three team in the nation behind only LSU and Alabama. That shows you how quickly that if you don't keep doing what you need to be doing to stay relevant, guess what? You become non-relevant the rest of the way, especially on the national landscape picture. And by the way, love Arkansas, making every effort to get there by playing four patsies as far as non-conference-wise this year and next year. The only team for the second straight year in the SEC with only 8 games against Power 5 conferences, but I digress as far as that's concerned. Auburn, to me, will probably feel like they have a lot to show and justify with that loss against LSU. I feel kind of sorry for Arkansas on Saturday night.
Yeah, I do too. I think Auburn will come out smoking. It's a night game. The crowd will be pumped. And, you know, Auburn needs to get off to a fast start. They're capable of it, but they need to finish strong too. You know, Chad Morris has his work cut out for him. You know, to me, the North Texas, the score was the upset, but the fact that North Texas won was not that big an upset. They're one of the favorites in Conference USA, and that shows you how much this program has slipped.
Georgia, Missouri, could this be a trap game for the Georgia Bulldogs? It's an 11 o'clock kickoff in Columbia, Missouri. And Missouri, certainly with one of the top quarterbacks, not only in the SEC, but in the nation, and Drew Locke. Could this be one of these, dangerous games, knowing that Georgia hosting Tennessee next week? I know Tennessee is not where Tennessee, as far as where it used to be and all that, but it's still important with Georgia and Tennessee. Could this be a trap game for the Bulldogs this week against Missouri?
No. Nope. It won't be. And I think part of it's the time. I think if this were a night game, you have that crowd lathered up, you're talking about a morning game, and you and I have talked about this over the years. I think these early starts favor the road team because they are more in their routine. They're coming there. They've got business. They get an early start to the day. They don't have to sit around the hotel. And that's why I just think it favors Georgia in this case. Listen, I think Missouri's legit. I think they're dangerous. I think Drew Locke is probably still the most underrated quarterback in the SEC. He's certainly the most experienced quarterback. But what has surprised me about Georgia is not the offensive fireworks, but how good they've gotten so quickly.
Your Atlanta Braves.
I have no idea what that was, but go ahead.
Sound like the Braves are coming on. But I'm shocked at how good Georgia is defensively this early in the season with all the losses they had.
And Georgia, by the way, only a 14.5-point favorite on the road. Now, here's the thing. You and I believe that about that concept, about the early starts, the team that's the visiting team on a business trip. But it usually bodes well if you're the underdog trying to snap the and pull off the upset. Like in case, and if it had been the other way around, where Missouri is traveling into Athens to take on Georgia for 11 o'clock kickoff. You know, Georgia's going to have their moments. Like I go back to last year where they had their struggles against a South Carolina team that didn't have their best receiver, for example, and they lingered around, you know, where it was a 7-point game there late. You know, there's going to be times where Georgia's not going to be up for every ball game, especially against, even though it's a conference game, it doesn't matter. You might tell your body, hey, it's time to kick off, but mentally, for whatever reason, it's tough to be up for every game. And so you wonder if this is the week, because, you know, we saw it last week. You know, did you think that BYU was going to be able to beat Wisconsin, for example? We get them. This is that time of year where we start getting them on a weekly basis. And, you know, you can just circle that one. If you've got somebody that can beat you with his arm like Drew Locke, you can always keep the door open for those possibilities.
We'll see. I think Georgia will roll, and I do have a lot of respect for Missouri, but I just think they're the better team.
How about the battle of the quarterbacks that can also do damage with their legs? Mississippi State at Kentucky. You know, certainly, you know, here's Kentucky just still flying under the radar. They haven't played Georgia yet, for example, in the SEC East. They do have the big win, and they're tied at the top along with Georgia as far as the conference lead with the win against the Florida Gators earlier this year. And Kentucky with the opportunity again, hosting a top 20 team as far as Mississippi State coming to town. This to me is certainly a message game for Kentucky to see how real they are. You know, it's a team so far that I've seen where they do just enough as far as games that they need to win. But, you know, with what they did against the Gators, you know, they've got the ability to really, you know, showcase their talents. I love Benny Snell Jr. of Terry Wilson, who keeps improving week in and week out at quarterback. And on the flip side, you've got Nick Fitzgerald, who's the same way. You know, he can beat you with his arm. Also, he's prolific with his running ability as well for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think it looks like a really good game. I think Kentucky's the most improved team in the conference. However, I think Mississippi State's on a different level. I think Nick Fitzgerald is on a different level. And I think what really kind of sets Mississippi State apart is this defense. It's a veteran defense. They're fast and they're fundamental. And just the way I look at it, Kentucky's going to have trouble putting points on the board.
Time will tell. We'll talk more about this coming up on Saturday. Before we let you go, remind everybody how they can keep up with you as far as your coverage of college football.
Yeah, The Zone is on every Sunday night, ABC 3340, after the news in Birmingham with Jeff Spiegel, Ryan Brown, and myself. And then I will be covering the Auburn-Arkansas game live for the Montgomery Advertiser. So we will have, you know, in-game coverage, post-game coverage, and then follow-up coverage.
As always, we appreciate you, buddy. Be safe in your travels, and we certainly look forward to talking to you again on our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show on Saturday morning.
See you then. Thanks, Ballpark.
Thank you.